This is the Average Guy Network, and you have found Home Gadget Geeks, show number 281, recorded on October 13th, 2016. Here on Home Gadget Geeks, we cover all the favorite tech gadgets that find their way into your home. News reviews, product updates, and conversation. All for the average tech guy. I'm your host, Jim Collison, broadcasting live from the AverageGuy.tv studio. Kind of a lonely AverageGuy.tv studio here tonight. Who am I talking about? I am solo tonight. Mike Wieger off for the night. And actually, Mike's going to struggle a little bit to make it on the podcast over the next 12 weeks, maybe, or so. Things, you know how jobs are, right? You guys know. If you're listening to the show, you know the deal on jobs. My own job has gotten in the over the last 5 or 6 weeks. That's okay. That's what we do. It's just seasons that we're in. So Mike is off. We'll be doing some scheduling, get some folks on, and so we'll be filling that in. So Mike, we miss you on it. But each week we record the show, post the show notes out at theaverageguy.tv. Don't forget, you can also join us live on the mobile app, and that's working. LastPass has sponsored us again for a whole other year, which is awesome. Thanks, LastPass, for your sponsorship of that mobile app. Get access to it and all the great stuff that comes along with it, which is just really, it's easy to listen to Home Gadget Geeks in its audio form. That's when I turn the Spreaker thing on. Actually, I always leave for the TV. I have to plug in a cord to listen to the TV, and then that makes the Spreaker thing not work. So I have to unplug it. I always have to remember to do that. But you can listen to the mobile app, subscribe to it. Super easy. Just go to HomeGadgetGeeks.com, and that link still works, and that'll be significant. I'll tell you a little bit why here later. Home Gadget Geeks is a course as a part of the Geeks Network. Find the link to this show and many other great podcasts. Dave, we need to update that if you're listening to this. There's open mic night still out there and a few other things, but head out to thegeeksnetwork.com. If you haven't checked it out yet, check out Dave's new show called Reset, and so that's part of the Geeks Network. Really good. Kind of Dave getting a chance to do kind of moving away from home servers, although he talks about home networking and home storage and home automation, all those things that are near and dear to him. And so if you haven't checked that out yet, head out to I hope he has it posted by this point, but McCabe.io will get you there. It's called Reset. Get out there and get subscribed to it. Really good podcast. And if you like Dave McCabe, you will like that as well. And I think I'll make an appearance on that, a couple weeks, maybe to a month from now. This will be important a little bit later as well. We now have a Patreon link available for you out there. If you want to financially support the show, you can do that out at theaverageguy.tv. Look in the right-hand sidebar, and you'll see just a Patreon link if you want to do that. Today, I have $1 and $5 plans. Those are monthly. You can do it as long as or as short as you want. Just an opportunity. Some folks say they want to support the show. How can we do that? A lot easier than PayPal. You can jump out there. It'll just do it reoccurring. We want to thank the guys, and towards the end of the show, I'll spend a little bit of time thanking everybody who has made a pledge to it. Some of you pledged and then dropped right after the stickers, and that's great, by the way. I encouraged you to just sign up to get the stickers. Some of you stayed around, so I appreciate that as well. If you stayed around and continue to support the show, that always means a lot to me. And when I think of guys like Brian and Paul and Kevin and Michael and Justin, John, and Dennis, thank you guys for jumping out there and for supporting me. A couple other, Eric, Peter, Jim, MB there, and I think he's out in Australia. Dwayne, Malcolm, Nathaniel, and Mike Wieger. You guys are sponsors of the program, and I appreciate your donations to us. Those will become important here in a second, real important here in a second, as I have some news for you guys. But we appreciate your donations to the network. All right. I promised that on Twitter today that I would do kind of a state of the podcast, right? The president gets up there every January and does a State of the Union address, and everybody watches it. And because I was solo tonight, and I was kind of mentioned in a pre-show, I thought a show idea would come to me, and it did. It was just this one. And I thought, why not try solo on my own? This is not something I like to do, guys. I am a born interviewer. I like to interview people. I like to have other people on the end. I'm not always comfortable just talking, although I go out on the road. I kind of just talk for a living, right? That's one of the and I talk one way and two ways. I take questions. Usually I have an audience in front of me, and that makes it a lot easier. Although I'm picturing Emily and Tony and Rennie and Ken in the chat room, I'm picturing you guys on the other end of the camera. So that's kind of helping out. But I've never really done solo podcasting. I've created some some short clips. I think way back when I did a solo podcast around how I do my podcasting, I think is what I did, but I've never done a tech one. And so just as the day progressed, I thought more and more. I thought, like, you know, what would happen if I just talked tech solo? And what would I do? Well, when you talk tech, I haven't had time to review very many things. We've been busy. I came back from the meetup. Lots of things coming up. I haven't messed around with that. A lot of travel, a lot of new things. But I thought it'd be interesting to talk through a little bit of what's going on with Home Gadget Geeks. What's going on with me? How things have changed. How things are changing around the tech industry. And love your feedback. If you're not listening live, you can send me an email. If you want, jim@theaverageguy.tv, you can kind of poke me on Twitter if you want, at Jay Collison. Great ways to do that. If you are in the chat room, love to have you ask me questions so that I can just give me some stuff to, you know, kind of interact against. I have a whole bunch of stuff to do. But if you want to ask me questions during this, you can do that as well. Let's talk a little bit about what's going on the network. And I think the big news that we got, and it kind of was a little sneaky on Amazon's point, and it kind of led me, you know, I had this reaction like, screw you, Amazon, to be honest. Like, I don't need to shop there anymore. I got in the feeling like Amazon's a little bit like Walmart and that I just avoid it whenever I can. But there's so many advantages to using Amazon from a cost standpoint. But just kind of out of the blue, Amazon banned a bunch of us from our affiliate accounts. I guess we put too much promotion into their products. You know, God forbid that we actually sell something for them. I really do feel like, and I've kind of felt this way for the last couple years, that Amazon is not really wanting its affiliate program to work or to work very well. Remember, the affiliate program for Amazon has been around a long time. This kind of goes way back, maybe, I don't know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years, maybe more than that. We've had an affiliate link here for a long time, 4 or 5 years, I think so on that. But I've always kind of felt like Amazon was getting ready to, and it's always wanted to say kind of like, okay, you know what, its business was built on affiliates in a lot of way of sharing their links in the early days. Remember, they only used to sell books. Remember that? Earth's largest bookstore type thing. In those days, they needed the affiliates, right? They needed those folks to be able to push their product and push their name forward. Well, you know, nobody needs Amazon. I mean, Amazon doesn't need anybody is what I should have said from that standpoint. They're doing well. People go out there like they go to Walmart. It's in a lot of cases here in the United States. Rennie makes a good point that Amazon shipping costs rule it out for him. Well, absolutely. Although, Rennie, if you had Amazon in Australia and the shipping was like it is here in the United States, that may be a completely different story. In every country that they're in, they're very, very competitive. Now, I don't live in the UK, so I don't know. And I don't, they're in some other places. But here, especially here in the United States, they're pretty good. We had set up the Average Guy Tech Scholarship Fund based on, and there's an idea. Amish, who had been a guest on Home Gadget Geeks, had given me this idea. Set up this tech scholarship fund, and as people use a scholarship fund, they would get the opportunity then to support something. And we bought a dozen or so things for people to test and to use. And that's kind of how I used it. I used it for upgrades on the network and those kinds of things. It was always great for you guys to do that. But apparently, theaverageguy.tv/Amazon, which we thought I had checked into the rules, apparently that's not okay. Also, what's not okay was the fact that we openly supported it with a link on our website, I believe. And I asked people to, I didn't really do this, but some people did it, set up bookmarks to do that in browsers. Those were apparently the things we did wrong when it came to the Amazon affiliate link. And somehow they hit Mike Howard, they hit Dave McCabe, and they hit me all at the same time. We all got kind of, which is weird, right? I mean, there's no tie between us. There's, except for the podcast and stuff. And somebody would have had to manually, if to figure out that relationship, somebody would have had to manually do that. And I doubt that Amazon would have done anything manual. Like, I have to believe that Amazon did this in a way that was automatic. And we haven't heard a lot of other podcasters complain about this in the community. And so, yeah, so affiliate link is gone at this point. I'll be removing it from I've already removed it from the main site and some other things. That doesn't break my heart, to be honest with you. I mean, it was a good run, a couple years, to be honest with you. We did $100 to $200 a month on the affiliate link. I could probably get reinstated. They're asking that we remove any references to the affiliate link being embedded in a in a, you know, in a tab, or using it in the domain name, or any of those kinds of things. I think I'm done with Amazon, to be honest with you. Not really worth it. And the money was great. Helped out a lot of people in the community, helped me do a lot of things here on the network, improve some things, buy some stuff. So if you've been using my Amazon affiliate link, I really appreciate it. Let me just say that to you. I really appreciate the support you've given me. It allowed you to support the network without having to do much. I will find some new ways. You know, affiliate relationships are always out there. There's products that I love, like Hover, right? And I have an affiliate link for Hover. If you're buying a domain name, I think they're not the cheapest, but the best is Hover. That's what I found. I don't like the cheapnames.com or whatever. They seem a little sketchy to me, but certainly I have to go to the affiliate links. I'm going to still buy from Amazon. I mean, I'd love to say I'm going to boycott them, but I'm not. Like, they're the cheapest in a lot of ways. Yeah, Newegg and some of those other ones are still out there. Still a great way to buy. Now, I kind of love to hear from you guys, actually. What are you using besides Amazon for tech? Newegg would be obvious, right, from that standpoint. Tiger Direct, remember that used to be out there, one of those that would do those kinds of things. Sell tech the way I did it. Monoprice, maybe some. So what are you using? I don't know. Drop that in the chat room while you're out there. A couple more have joined. Other Jim, good to see you. John, great to see you as well. Drashna, welcome. What are you using? I'd love to say we could just drop Amazon, but really, no, we can't. They're the big boys in there. And so Amazon's got a lot of good things going for it. Like I said, I can't imagine why would you wipe out your best customers? And I get why they do it, but why would you wipe out your best customers and your best, those folks who are really doing a lot too? I mean, we mention them all the time, and it would drive people to use them, right? A bookmark would drive. I never did really understand why. And I get it. They don't want people gaming them and coming up with automatic stuff. And I get that. I get all that. So officially Amazon is done with theaverageguy.tv. So theaverageguy.tv/Amazon no longer works, and you can't use it. It's a sad day a little bit for me, but again, not the end of the world. I don't podcast for money. You know, your donations help, right? When you support the network, don't get me wrong. Those absolutely help. I'm able to upgrade equipment and buy things and do stuff that I normally wouldn't do. You know, in our house, we've separated, guys and gals, let me just say this. In our house, we separated the tech dollars from the household budget. And it was too easy for me to spend. I could spend a lot on tech. And I was taking it out of the main account. And my wife was getting a little frustrated with me over that. And so we made an agreement a long time ago that I would have a separate checking account. I have it at the Gallup Federal Credit Union. Works out. It's pretty close to me. Any money that I make in consulting or through podcasting or whatever goes into that account. And then I pay the expenses for all this stuff, domain names, some of those kinds of things. I pay for those out of a separate account. It keeps it, and it actually motivates me a little bit more to make sure that I'm doing some things to generate positive income so I can keep my tech addiction going. And because you guys know the deal. It can become expensive. Everybody handles this a little bit different. This is the way we had to handle it here at the Collison House. So the Tech Scholarship Fund was a great way to have a separate account. I could benefit other people for it as well and benefit what we did here in the network. So will that stop? Well, we still have sponsors. Maybe I'll go after a few more sponsors for what we do. LastPass, of course, has been a great sponsor for us. So if you haven't bought a LastPass premium subscription of all $12, like, that'd be a great way to sponsor the network, by the way. They won't know it's from me, but they sponsor me in good faith, knowing that that you guys will continue to do that. So if you haven't picked up a $12 annual subscription to LastPass, head out to LastPass.com. Sign up for it. You get it both on your mobile device and on your PC. Great way to do it. So it's a great way to support the network. Patreon, of course, is a great way to do it. I mentioned that a little bit earlier. Would also be interested in hearing from you. You know, we did stickers, right? And I thought the stickers went pretty good, paid for itself and a little bit more, which is good. A little experiment I wanted to see. Maybe I'll come up with a better sticker that's a little more durable. My Surface is upstairs. I've been putting stickers on the back of my Surface. And of course, that sticker is on there as well. I'm interested, like, if you're going to support, I mean, it was helpful when you supported the network and you bought something and you didn't pay any more and you didn't even have to see it come out. It just helped us. Well, those days are gone for me. And so what else could I do for you in that kind of situation where you could continue to support something? You got benefit out of it and I got benefit. Now, many of you, I read off that whole name on the Patreon, those Patreons earlier. You guys just continue to do it out of the goodness of your heart. And I appreciate you doing that. And that's good. That's some great funding, to be honest with you. And I get to keep a good chunk of it because Patreon takes a little bit and there's a processing fee and such. But what else could I do for you? when we think about the state of the podcast. We've been doing this for almost 6 years. December 4th, I think, is the day. We'll celebrate our six-year anniversary. No special plan for it this year. It'll be number six. And we did something for five, so we won't do that. But I'd be interested. You know, a lot of things have changed. We're going to talk about that here in just a second. How can I help support you in you doing what you're doing? How do we make, for the thousand or so of you who listen to this, how do we make this a more valuable podcast to you? What kind of things can I do to make it help? What kind of things are interesting? I get a lot of great feedback from you. You love the guests. You love the uniqueness of the guests. That's one of those things that I just don't bring on the same old folks that we bring on. I bring on you guys from the community, and we get a good chance to kind of have everybody on the show who wants to be on the show for the most part. And I'm kind of selective. I'll be honest with you. I'm selective. But what other things? What can I do for you from that standpoint? So let me know, jim@theaverageguy.tv, if you want to send me an email. Can't do everything you want, but be interested to get that kind of feedback at this point. We'll continue to schedule. The podcast is going nowhere. So I'm not doing all these things, or I'm not saying all this stuff to say, you know, anything's going to change. I'm going to continue to do a lot of the same things that I've done over the next year or two. I don't have any plans to go anywhere. I love doing what I do. I love you guys and gals that are out there listening. It's why I do it every single week. I've gotten a chance. I'll talk about this a little bit later. I've got a chance to take it out to work. That's pretty cool. So here we go. We're off for another year. And I'd just like to hear from you. Tell me what you'd like to see and what we're doing. So appreciate the feedback that you give me. We, of course, need to thank Christian in a big kind of way. Christian's been a big supporter of what we do from the Average Guy Network, both with his podcast. And if you haven't subscribed to Cyber Frontiers, you might want to. It's very sporadic, but we get to it. And so if you want to, and Rennie just put in chat, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, right? Yeah, no, right on. It ain't broke. I think we got a good thing going on here. I'm going to share numbers here in a little bit. I want to give you guys a peek into what I look at every single week. When not really, once a month, maybe at the most. But I'm going to give you guys a sneak peek into the numbers of what we do here, just to give you an idea what that looks like. I always think that's interesting. Some podcasters are afraid to share their numbers. I'm not. But think of Christian. Christian's been a huge supporter. And of course, Maple Grove Partners. If you go to maplegrovepartners.com, that's a great host site. And he sponsors really my bandwidth and my storage here, and we talk about him a lot. Many of you have gone over to Maple Grove Partners. That's a great idea. If you want to support me, support Maple Grove Partners. Open, get a website, $10. You get everything. I mean, the average guy can run everything, WordPress site for the most part, although he'll do anything. He's pretty amazing. Get a website and have Christian host it. And that means you support theaverageguy.tv. So if you haven't done that yet, we see these questions all the time. Who do I go to? From a podcasting standpoint, Christian can handle anything. He's got a great WordPress-optimized, podcasting-optimized website. Head out to maplegrovepartners.com. You hear me say that all the time, but now might be the time to get that done. And so it might just be a great way to, if you're starting, Emily, if you're going to start up a new site or whatever, you might want to head over to Maple Grove Partners, get personal, safe, secure, reliable service from Christian. We say that all the time. But a great way to support the show as well. But Christian's a big deal to the podcast here. And he's pretty busy and he can't do a lot of what we do. Can't appear as much as he used to, but he's a big deal in what we're doing here. So Christian, thanks for all the work that you do. And I couldn't do it without Christian. He's a big deal in keeping things going. You know, I thank Mike Wieger for showing up every single week, although he won't for the next bunches of them. But, you know, Mike, think back to the days, you know, of having, you know, Andrew on there. You guys have been a big support to me and all the things that you've done. Christian, big support just joining from that standpoint. I think way back in the day, Brian, jumping in here. So you guys from a community standpoint have done great, and we appreciate it. One of the things when we think about numbers, here's the amazing thing. Not a lot of you guys ask me, like, so how many downloads do you get? Like, I don't get that a lot, and that's okay. I don't talk about it a lot. I will. I'll share it with just about anybody who asks. Point of the matter is we get some, like, the numbers we get, I really like. And so I appreciate you doing that. When we think about Home Gadget Geeks, you know, the show is available in a whole bunch of different formats, right? We have an MP3 audio only available for you. That typically right now, those numbers are up about 1,100 unique hits to that every single week when we do publish one, about 1,100 hits. That by the Blueberry numbers, that equates to about 811 unique listeners. I don't know how they figure that out, but they do. So some of you must have it on multiple devices. Maybe that's what that says, if you have 800 uniques. And 1,100 total. Many of you, maybe you've got it on some old devices or you're doing it a couple times. So we get about 1,100 total downloads to that. We also make available to you a video large and a video small version. That's actually hosted by Mediafire, mediafire.com. They sponsor that, the video feeds. Those do 100 or so when we look at the numbers. They maybe 100 on each. Cyber Frontiers generally does a couple hundred actually downloads. That one actually does really, really well, even though it's very, very sporadic. When we do it, I think the last one had about 500 unique and about 750 total. And so some good numbers. So those video numbers, about the same, about 100 each. So not a bad way to, you know, for you guys, you're picking up. I always stop when we decided to do the video RSS feeds. I thought nobody'd use them. We get 100 to a couple hundred every single month, which is crazy. And so it's a great way to see kind of the traction that we get when we think about that. When we flip over to the video stats, you guys are talking about barbecue in the chat room. I'll be back to that here in just a second. The channel, the AverageGuy.tv channel. So if you head out to our page, about 145,000 views total, which isn't bad. About 952 subscribers. By the way, my Gallup channel has 10 times that, which is crazy. We have almost 10,000 subscribers out there on that page for Gallup. I'll talk a little bit more about that later. But the weekly numbers or the podcast numbers, you know, the videos do somewhere, if you think about it in there, somewhere between 50 and 250. We've had some videos that have been pretty popular. I think, you know, it's crazy. The most popular one that we've ever done on the network, if I sort these by most viewed, when I look on YouTube, is actually a video that I did with Mike Howard. So Mike, don't get too heady on this one, Mike Howard, but to unraid in 10 minutes on home tech tips, that has actually been viewed 11,000 times. And in the next one after that, home networking Windows Server 2012 essentials lights out HP 40. And I think this is only an SEO thing, to be honest with you. HP N40L and 54L and NASA interns. That was brilliant SEO from that standpoint, but about 9,000. Then it works its way down. Actually, Mike Howard is in four of the top five videos, that Unraid video, or no, the hands-on review of the MediaSonic ProRaid hard drive enclosure that Mike did, some 7,000 downloads to that as well. It's really interesting that there's some older ones out there when we watch getting on YouTube that have done pretty well in the couple thousands, a little walk down memory lane here. A lot of the home server stuff does pretty well. PFSense, of course, does very well. And so then it drops off pretty quick as we get down into those, in those videos, it drops into the thousands. I don't have any of those. I don't have any of those viral runaways, you know, as much as I've tried to create them, that, you know, I haven't had a way to create them that have made them go viral. So I don't have very many of those that are out there. Sometimes I'm sad. I've heard of people who have gotten hundreds of thousands or 150s. I don't know. You know, you just get a bunch of trolls when you do that. So I'm happy with what we've got. You guys continue to use the videos. Love to hear how you use them in a lot of ways. But it's you know, we do okay on the video side. So if you ever wondered, that's there. In the chat room, you guys are talking about, other Jim mentioned a weekly segment on barbecue. And that barbecue show has been real popular, as we talked about. It hasn't made the top list on YouTube. I think it's in the couple hundreds or so. But it has certainly generated a ton of interest, as you guys were talking about it. So I'll have to remember that. Apparently, barbecue is a big deal. And if we can keep continuing to talk tech about it, maybe that's good. Of course, we mentioned Unraid, and so Mike, that does pretty well. It's the number one show. It's kind of crazy. It's a little 10-minute video. So the rest of the ones, everybody says, you know, oh, shorter is better. Well, my number two show is an hour and 53 minutes long. Number three is an hour and 7 minutes long. So I don't know. It's kind of a way of, everybody says shorter is better, but I'm not sure about that. Emily says she loves Kickstarter segments. So that's a great idea. You know, trolling Kickstarter might be a great way for me to, when we think about guests, troll the Kickstarter realms to see what they're doing there. Tony mentioned he loved the robot lawnmower. Yeah, that was great. That's a fun one to do. There's been some good ones. We'll continue to do ones just like that. I need to reach out. I need to get busy on Twitter and reach out to some folks. Emily, Kickstarter is a great idea, but kind of troll Kickstarter a little bit. If you find things that are interesting, you could help me out. Like, if you want to support the show, it doesn't need to cost you anything. You could help me out by tracking down the owner of that and asking them if they'd be willing to appear on a podcast. They're almost always honored to do something like that. And so if you just contacted them for me and said, hey, I've got this Home Gadget Geeks podcast that I listen to. I'm really engaged in it. I really love it. I almost buy products all the time from it. Would you be on it? And then make the introduction to me. That would actually be really, really helpful. So if you're thinking about a way to support what we're doing here, that'd be helpful as well. With the work schedule, I haven't always had the time to track those down. I will, but I always have the time. But if we could crowdsource it, that'd be a great way. Mike Howard says he liked The Ring Show. That was another good show too. Right after that, we started seeing Jamie Siminoff all over. I started seeing him all over television, which was cool. Ring went kind of crazy, and he starts showing up on TV. Emily had said Jim's Ambassador is a new sticker idea, which is a pretty good sticker idea too. But you guys can help. So if you want to jump in there, that's another way to do it. You don't have to, but it's another way of doing it to help me pick up those guests. So in our stats, you know what I tell people? So when they say, how many listeners do you get? 1,500 to 2,000. By the time you include, and one of the things, I don't know if you know this, you've all figured out ways to listen to the program in your own ways, and that's cool. But I make it available. And what's crazy is I see numbers on all these platforms. I see anywhere from fives of numbers. That's kind of funny to say that, right? Fives to 50s to hundreds, which is weird. So, of course, our app is supported by Spreaker, right? The mobile app powers off Spreaker. You know, what's been interesting is what I've seen on Spreaker is an inverse decline. Is that right? Is inverse decline like a double negative? I think it's the same thing. But we've seen a decline in the numbers. So since last year at this time, we kind of peaked on Spreaker, and then it's been slowly going down. Now, don't tell LastPass I said that, okay? But the Spreaker numbers itself, of course, the other numbers have been going up. So I think what's happening is people are coming over to the RSS feed and they're hearing it on Spreaker maybe, or for a while, maybe Spreaker was advertising it. I don't know. I can't figure it out, but Spreaker numbers have been slowly diminishing. And the podcast numbers, the audio downloads other places has been growing. So just not as many of you are going out to the Spreaker either to download it or watch it. It is getting a ton of live views out there. Those live views continue to grow. That's the kind of the thing, the center. There's a dark brown number in there that's live, and that continues to grow as you guys are listening to Home Gadget Geeks on the app. But those numbers begin to decrease. It's available. One of the cool things through Alexa, since Alexa's not down here, but the other one is, you can play this through Intune. So you can say Echo, play Home Gadget Geeks on TuneIn Radio.
Getting the latest episode of Home Gadget Geeks. Here it is from TuneIn.
This is the Average Guy Network, and you have found Home Gadget Geeks.
Echo, pause.
Show number two. So that's on TuneIn Radio. So if you have one of those Amazon devices and you want to listen to it on TuneIn, you can just ask for it. And that actually got better. On Alexa, it used to never recognize the word Home Gadget Geeks. It would do this really weird one. It would never work. And that worked for me first time tonight. It was a little hard to get Alexa, her other name, to wake up. But once we did, getting that, if you want to listen to it on your device, that's a great way to get it done. That's available through TuneIn Radio. Many of you don't listen to it that way, but that's a great way to get it. Stitcher is another way to do it if you're on there. Those numbers have not been great. Stitcher overall has not been very good, but we're available on Stitcher. We still get 70 to 150 on Podomatic, which is weird. That's the very first podcasting platform that I stayed on. And we continue to still get great numbers. And so, you know, I don't know who's still, I'd love, if you're listening to this on Podomatic, I'd love you to send me a note, jim@theaverageguy.tv. You don't need to put anything else in there. Just why you're listening, why you're still listening to it on Podomatic. I would, I'd love to know that. All right. Well, Quasi says he lives in Vegas and would attend CES. Well, there we go. Anyone interested in providing updates from the show in terms of tech? Well, hey, living in Vegas and going to CES would be pretty cool. We've done those CES shows before, Dave and I, and they're a lot of work. But if you're on the floor, you take some pictures, you want to do some stuff. So, of course, the network can support that as well. Let's see what else is in the chat room real quick. I don't want to miss anything that's out there. Oh, it's funny. Emily says she wants to meet Ken Bone. So if you haven't, Ken kind of blew up. Actually, selected by Gallup, where I work. So that in the debate on Sunday, a guy stood up, bigger guy, red sweater. Took the internet by storm. That's one of the weird things about the internet these days, right? He just became super popular overnight. I think he will become equally unsuper popular just as fast. But selected by Gallup, we actually have a team that put those guys together. That's a tradition that we've done over, I don't know, 50 years, 40 years, something like that. And so Ken Bone was selected by Gallup to be in the debate the other day. So Emily says, Amazon is against me. Your Echo will revolt against you now. So, yeah, maybe she says maybe that's how Amazon knew that I was doing that. They were listening through the Echo. So that's actually not a bad theory that they've been listening to me through the Echo, because we all have Echoes. Mike, do you have a Mike Coward? Do you have an Echo near your studio? I don't think you have one in the studio like I do. So yeah, it's very, very possible. So, okay. So we talked about Podomatic. Of course, it's available SoundCloud, MixCloud, AudioMac, podcast.com. Those all don't get very much, but, and then archive.org. If you ever want to go get a back episode, and I started to think at 100 or so, so there's not too many out there, but I've been loading them to archive.org. Someday the averageguy.tv will probably go away, and I'm hoping that archive.org will stay in a lot of my programs that'll be available out there. So if you go to archive.org and search Home Gadget Geeks, you should see a lot of programs out there. And I'm kind of hoping that will live in the future. That's my time capsule, so to speak, for the future. That's what I'm hoping, where things will be, you know, when I no longer have the averageguy.tv. Who would actually buy the averageguy.tv except me, right? That's kind of the, when if we talk about those platforms. So if you're using any one of those and you're listening, love to hear why. Beyond, you know, behind the regular RSS feed. If you're downloading it through a podcatcher, through iTunes, the RSS feed, whatever, that's cool. But if you're listening to one of those odd ones, one of the different ones, love to know what, or maybe you caught me on Mixcloud or Shout Engine or one of those. I didn't mention Shout Engine, podcast.com. Maybe you heard me there and then you made your way over. I'd love to hear about that story too, because I populate those. I was kind of hoping that'll happen, but let me know. When we think about social media, well, we've really tried to focus on our Facebook group, and it's gone okay. I think maybe a thread a week or two, maybe a new one every once in a while. It's been a good community. I appreciate those guys that are out there, you know, supporting through the averageguy.tv on Facebook. Great way to do it. And so, you know, do we need more conversation out there? I don't know. So, but the Facebook group is out there, and I'll put a link in the show notes if you want to, if you haven't joined us on the Facebook group, there's a lot of good conversations. It's really a good natured conversation. And so that's good as well. Of course, many of you find me on Twitter at Jay Collison. I've been working on that account, kind of growing it, see if that'll do anything for the podcast, or 8,000, 8,200, something like that on Twitter now. So really working that to see if I can gain some followers and they'll come over and listen to the podcast. I guess what I want to hear from you is what else from a social media standpoint. So I was looking in the chat room, Rennie, who of course is in Brisbane, Australia. He says he heard me first when he visited Grafton, West Virginia. So that's pretty funny, Rennie. Nice job. Like that a lot. That is awesome. I still have never heard from anybody in Grafton. I have no idea if anybody's listening out there. Still love to have you contact me, Jim, at theaverageguy.tv. But what else are we thinking? Emily, I know, you know, you're in the podcasting space, and some of you that listen are as well. What are we thinking? You know, Facebook Live is out there. It's actually stayed around a lot longer than I thought it would. I didn't think it would stay around this long. I still don't think it's the future. I think it's an avenue, but I don't think it's going to take the podcasting world by storm. We've done Periscope and stuff, and it's mildly interesting. And then, you know, pretty much we go back to this format. Instagram is another one. Snapchat came and went. So I don't know. Other platforms, you guys seem to do pretty well with what we have. The email works from time to time when I send it to you. So if you're thinking of other social media platforms or things I should be watching out, other places I should be, you know, we're on all those other things, Pinterest and Dig and Submit and StumbleUpon and all that other stuff that I submit to. Yes, I spend 4 hours on Saturdays posting all this crap. I mean, it's a long process. I probably shouldn't do it. Dave doesn't. And in fact, he makes fun of me, Dave McCabe. He makes fun of me because I do all this stuff. And he says, why do you do that? It's not worth anything. I don't know. I do it because I think maybe even if it picks up one listener, it's probably worth it. So it's I'd love to hear from you if you got other ideas or what you want to do. One of the questions I wanted to really ask you guys tonight, and I want you to think with me a little bit, what's changed over the last 10 years when we think of technology and podcasting? You know, it's 2016. We started podcasting. I started podcasting with you guys in 2008 with Dave. It was really 2009 or so before I got things going. And then, you know, I think 2009 when we launched, or maybe it's 2010 when we launched, because we're coming up on our sixth year. So I started with Dave 2009, 2010, when we started Home, which was Home Tech at the time. Think about all the things that have changed that we couldn't do then that we can do now. And then not only how has it changed, but how has it changed your view of tech? And how is tech changing? It's a weird thing. Like, I used to get really excited about all the new changes in Windows or all the, you know, the new gadgets that were coming out, all the new watches and all the new phones. Let me just be honest with you. It's not as exciting as it used to be. It is, yeah, no, a little bit. I struggle a little bit with it. You know, you kind of go, you talk about phones or talking about watches and all those stuff for fun. That's why the real interesting interviews, I guess I've enjoyed the more off the beaten path interviews lately, just because maybe some of those products haven't got as exciting. Drashen is mentioning, he said, I watched a show, but it's been a long while since I watched a Home Server Show episode, which it's going to be even longer, Drashna, because it doesn't exist anymore. I hope you got to the last one. Home Server Show is gone at this point. It was really gone 6 months ago for the most part, but we limped it along until the very end, and Dave kind of shut it down at the Home Server Show meetup. But it's you know, it's kind of interesting that just the state of tech and where it's going. And so, you know, where is it changing? Where is it changing for you? You know, there's been a lot of podcast app changes. There's been a lot of app changes, a lot of stuff around tech. I think, you know, when we think about the big categories that are coming up, computers are now phones, right? For the most part. Most people are not buying computers anymore for the most part. They're either buying an iPad device of some kind or their phone. They're just not going to the home computer. And that's really stretching out the lifespan of the home computer. It'll eventually catch up to itself. I think people are going to need some of those things. But for the most part, people are replacing phones with computers. So that's kind of going away. Cars are getting real interesting at this point. I think in the next 5 to 10 years, we're going to have full automation in those. They'll be able to drive on their own. Already seen that in some trucks in some part of the country. They're driving trucks automated. A lot of the mines now are moving to automated equipment, which is a lot safer. They can run them 24/7. They don't have to worry about it. There's a lot of things they don't have to worry about when they think about them being automated. The home automation market is on the rise, you know, and a lot of things, although it's, I've been messing with home automation a lot and it's still really gimmicky. I mean, there's no great standards, and I mean, things are getting better, but yikes on home automation. It's expensive. It's getting cheaper. That's not too bad. It's still expensive. I have this Home 8 device sitting there that Dave gave me to test. I need to install it here, but it's one of those things that, you know, home automation is one of those interesting things. A lot of folks are doing it. Price is coming down, but it's one of those things that, I don't know. Still feels kind of weird. I still think it's not in the average guy. It's not in the average guy space for a lot of people. If I ask them, are you installing light bulbs and home automated stuff and speakers? They're saying no at this point. Drashna says he disagrees with me out of the chat. Plenty of people are buying PCs still, but yeah, they're using devices a lot more. Yeah. I don't know if the numbers support that, Drashna, to be honest with you. I think we're seeing a pretty steady decline in PC sales. I think it's just as we look across the board, I think the numbers say that those say that they're lessening. People are still buying them. You have to, right? You have to replace them. But I think in some homes where we used to have two or three computers, that's now one computer, and we're getting more phones. Certainly it's the cycle is lasting a lot longer. And so it's, I just don't think people are replacing them as fast. So Quasi says, love tech, but it's not affordable for everyone. Yeah. At least the latest in the tech. Yeah. Now if you're going to stay on the bleeding edge of technology, you're going to pay. You're going to pay, and you're going to pay a lot. And so it is hard. I mean, we've talked about this all the time. Mike Howard says, I think the price of some things like Philips Hue need to come down more for the average person to buy them. Yeah, they've come down quite a bit, but I think they still have a ways to go when we think about it. You know, it's interesting, you know, cell phone, the average price of a cell phone is 3 times more than a landline used to cost in its heyday. And yet we have no trouble paying that for that cell phone. It's interesting when it's value driven, right? And I think there's a lot of value in a cell phone, an iPhone or Android device, maybe not a Galaxy Note 7, but when there's a lot of value in that, I think we're willing to pay for it. The question is, where's the right price value for that? So it's one of those things that we make these decisions on what we put value on and what we don't put value on. So it's interesting. Tony says the tech I use is still painful for the average guy. And that's totally true, right? That's why I started this podcast, by the way, is to try and get some of that tech easier for the average guy. It's the way we wanted it. Didn't really turn out that way, but it it is one of those things that we were hoping that it would take a direction of helping people do that. I ended up attracting a bunch of really smart guys like you. And so it didn't really work out that way. Hey, anybody out there own a 7, a Note 7? I'd be interested in hearing from you. Interesting. Have you turned it in? Have you taken it back? Have you decided to exercise its warranty? Wow. I mean, about the only thing that has a worse opinion than Trump at this point here in the United States is Galaxy Note 7. And so lots of crazy things going on there with that. As I've been traveling over the last couple of weeks, the airlines now are have an announcement that they say, like, you know, if you've got one of these phones, you can't even turn it on. Don't even bring it on the plane, I think is what they want to say. So interesting. I wonder where we're going with this and where tech is going. It's made interesting shows for me. We talk about all the things that we've done and the changes in them. I think the tech is getting easier. Some of the home automation stuff isn't, for sure. It just needs to get better. Somebody will fix that for sure. Somebody will come along and get that fixed. One of the things that was interesting to me, and I'll take some questions from you guys if you want to drop those in the chat room now, if you got some questions for me, some serious questions. But Mike Howard mentioned this. We were chatting offline here before the show started. I guess that's we were chatting on. He had said, you know, remember the days when we used to chat on the weekends? We'd get together, us guys. We'd do podcasts on the weekends. It was a big deal to get on the weekends, and we get a chat going. We might record it. That was the genesis for Rich's Random Podcast Generator. And it was awesome. And we just thought it was the coolest thing. And then, you know, we all got busy, or that tech got old, you know, kind of Blab came along and kind of took that. We never jumped on Blab to do those kinds of things. Huzzah is now doing that. Fire Talk is now doing that. We're not doing it as much. And so I'm wondering how our community has changed from that standpoint, if that's just not a real priority for us anymore, to really connect that way. It is weird. There was a while where the connecting part was so unique. Like, man, I can connect to anybody in the world anytime I want. And now when I think about the work that I do, I can, daily I connect to people all around the world. And it just doesn't seem, in fact, it's a nuisance when I can't get connected to them. Like today I was chatting, we were doing a theme Thursday for Gallup today. And my guest is in North Carolina, and it should have worked, And she dropped twice, or I dropped once and she dropped one. And I think, man, that should just work now. Why doesn't that just work? But besides that, in most cases, we can talk to anybody we want kind of around the world at any time we want. Maybe the lackluster has come off of that. You know, it's come off that idea. It's kind of, have we grown accustomed to this really cool thing of having these, you know, Rennie's halfway around the world. I've known Rennie for a lot of years. Love talking to him, but you know, the thought of calling in Australia at one point in time, Andrew, or, you know, however we did it, was super cool. Now I kind of think we expect it. It's really interesting. I wonder how that's happened. And, you know, have we just grown accustomed to, you know, to it? In other words, has the world gotten smaller? And are we to the point where that doesn't, I mean, I call Singapore and I call India and I call Europe all the time for work, and it just doesn't seem like that that much is a big deal anymore. So I don't know. It's interesting. Have we lost our edge? Is it time to move on from some of those things? Certainly we have already, but interesting when we think about the community and the way we connect, we just don't do it like the way we used to. And I'm wondering where that went. Question in the chat room. What's your thought on AI and the role of tech and VR versus AR? Those seem to be hot topics. Yeah, you know, it's really interesting. So AI, machine learning and AI have become two buzzwords in the industry that everybody's saying. I'm not sure anybody really knows what they mean when it comes to, you know, I don't think you mean what you think. I don't think that means what you think it means. You know, if you know that movie, then you've watched the best movie ever. But I don't know, AI, right? Artificial intelligence. I don't think we're still really that close. My Alexa device isn't that smart yet. Siri lets me down all the time. I think we're a ways away from that. I think augmented reality has a chance. I think virtual reality has no chance at this point. I don't, until it gets bigger, holodeck kind of thing, I just don't see that really being, it's got a lot of issues on its own. I could be totally wrong there. I'll admit, maybe I am. But I don't see virtual being, it's going to be a gimmick, a gaming kind of thing. I just don't see it having a lot of practical applications at the moment, maybe in the next 5 to 10 years. AR, completely different. AR's got a lot of stuff it could do. And I got a chance to see the HoloLens, put it on. It still needs some work. Trust me. The field of view is a lot bigger than I thought it was. And it was really clear. And it wasn't tethered to anything. That was pretty cool. I think augmented reality is, its time is now, and there's some great applications for it in a lot of different things. It's got a lot of work to do, but I think it's got some applications. VR, I don't see that going very far at all. Emily did said she saw the segment on 60 Minutes last week about AI. Holy crap, had nightmares about the humanoid face. Yeah, I think there's some special use cases where AI is working really well. As far as to the masses yet, it's not to us. That took a lot of processing power to get that thing working. Now it'll get better. It will get better. I think we do have some serious questions to answer about artificial intelligence put into androids or put into those kinds of robots, so to speak. What will they be like, and how will that work? I don't know. I think I'm going to be dead. Long before it actually happens. So I think we've got a ways to go before we see AI in the space. I think we see VR in the space. Drashna says it's because I'm not a gamer that I don't see. Yeah, I think that's what I said. I don't think AR has very many applications outside of gaming at this point. And gaming's a fairly big space. I don't think it's that large. When we think about the number of Xboxes and PlayStations that are sold, I don't know. We'll see. I don't see it. And they got to get a better application out than they have now for it to make any sense. So certainly restricted to the gaming space. Absolutely, for sure. So one of the questions I get all the time is, how does Gallup fit into the podcasting world? You know, you guys, Gallup's on one side and the show is on the other, and they kind of blend together in some ways, and they're very separate in others. Gallup continues to grow. It's already long past what we do here on Home Gadget Geeks. It's weird to have a business podcast that's doing so well, and it's rocking and rolling, and we're getting some pretty good numbers out there when we think about the 30 to 35,000 hits I get to the blog site. That smokes what goes on at theaverageguy.tv. Of course, it's got better content. So we have writers and stuff that do that. When I think about the 15 or 16 or 17,000 downloads every single month, it's pretty close. A little more, I think, than I get. A lot more than I get. Yeah. So the work at Gallup continues to move forward, and I don't know where that's going to go, and it could be big. I mean, we're, as a customer base, we're looking at reaching. We just reached 15 million StrengthsFinder codes today. We're doing 5,000 to 6,000 of those every single day. People who are taking StrengthsFinder, and that's a big audience, right? I'd love to get some of those converted into Twitter and in our Facebook group. We get quite a few in there. For right now, I just take what I learn here and I apply it there. And lately, I take what I learn there and apply it here. And so Gallup continues we had a practice session today for a brand new podcast. That'll make number 5 if we decide to do that. So lots going on at work. It'll be interesting to figure out exactly where that's going. One of the cool, really bright spots for me over the last year or so, when we think about podcasts, has been on with Dave Jackson on Ask the Podcast Coach. And that's just been a fun Saturday morning one to do. It's super easy to show up. And it's been a real bright spot for me. It's just a ton of fun to do. I don't have to plan it or be the host or any of those things. Everything else I always had to plan. It's one of the reasons I love being on Home Server Show. It's because I could just show up and talk. That was a lot of fun. And but Ask the Podcast Coach has taken up that spot. And so it's been good to hang out with Dave and do that on Saturday mornings. A ton of fun. And so great. I got a good friendship with Dave and the other Dave. So not the Dave McKay. So what's the future? Well, I'm going to keep doing what I do here. I don't have any big plans. In the other network, we had some big changes that went on over there and shut a couple podcasts down, and a new one was brought up. No plans at this point to do that. Some folks had asked me at the meetup, would I be doing something like that? And I said, no, No, we're going to hang around. Home Gadget Geeks is here to stay for a while. As long as I can do it, I do need to work a little bit less sometimes to get that done. Although it's working just the way it is. So it's just fine. And I continue to be as busy as ever. But fun to show up on Thursday nights with you guys to hang out. I'm going to wrap this up here. If you got any more questions, I might have missed them in the chat room. I see there's some talk going on of Pokemon Go, which was another interesting phenomena. Probably already past its prime at this point. But yeah, we'll hang around. Continue to do Home Gadget Geeks. I'd love to hear your ideas. Thank you guys for all the work that you do to put into the podcast when you listen. Super important. Like, can't have a podcast if you guys aren't listening. I can't do a podcast. That's just all there is to it. I can't have a state of the podcast if I don't have a podcast, if I don't have listeners. I mean, I guess I could do this. No one would listen. And I guess I could still continue to do it. Some podcasters do that. That's, you know, that we talk to, you know, they create a podcast and they get a few of their friends to listen to it. It's getting a little sparse, getting a little harder. The production value of these things has had to come up. We've been very, very fortunate that as many changes that I've had, as many things that have gone on, we haven't dropped any listeners. We've gained, if we've done anything. Oh, I'm sure a few people, we've gained them back and a little bit more. And so, you know, I'm very fortunate that every single week you sit and listen. And this podcast, maybe not a ton of value. Good to kind of chat with you, kind of hear from me, I think, what's going on here on the network and what we're deciding to do. I think with that, I will give it a wrap. We're back next week with Amber Gott from LastPass coming on, and we'll get some guests scheduled for you. And at 282, we'll get back on track. I hope you felt like as you get to the end of this podcast, it wasn't a waste of your time. It might have been, and if it is, I'm sorry. We will, you know, we'll strive to continue to bring the delivery. I know if you think it's a waste of time, you'll probably let me know, and I appreciate that when I get those. But it is one of those things that sometimes it's good just to sit down and chat with you guys, the listener. I should have warned you up front, put it on 2-speed so you can blow through this thing. But good to catch up with you and all the things that are happening. And again, a couple of opportunities for you to interact with me on this. I asked you a couple times for some things. And if you could drop those in an email this week, if you got some feedback for me, that would be great. Don't forget, we have the Patreon link. If you want to financially support the show, link's on theaverageguy.tv. It's in the sidebar. Right-hand sidebar, go out and take a peek at it. Contact me, jim@theaverageguy.tv. Send me a tweet at Jay Collison. Don't forget to you support the show and you support Maple Grove Partners. And head out to maplegrovepartners.com. For $10, you can get a month. You can get a fully hosted website that supports podcasting or not. You don't have to do podcasting, but great website. Very, very secure. All that stuff. Christian does a great job. Head out to maplegrovepartners.com. We would be remiss if we missed our friends at WLMN Radio out in Grafton, West Virginia. Thanks for listening out there. Don't forget, you can listen to the app on the app now. So head out to theaverageguy.tv. No, don't head out there. I mean, you can, right? But head out to homegadgetgeeks.com and the app buttons are out there. We'll thank LastPass for their sponsorship. And you can support the show by purchasing their annual subscription, $12 a year, $1 a month. Pretty expensive. And I use it all the time. It's awesome. Although, I put two-factor on everything. This is a little story from travel. So I put two-factor on everything, and some of that relies on my phone having connectivity. And when I got on the plane and I fired up my Surface and I tried to log into LastPass, it didn't recognize the IP address. And apparently LastPass is getting very, very conservative about that whole idea that if you log in from an IP they haven't recognized your device on before, they flag it and force you to kind of answer, you know, this email. Well, I could not, and then it forced me to do dual factor on it. Well, my phone wasn't connected to cellular wise, so I couldn't get the two factor on the phone because I was 39,000 feet in the air, and I had bought the plan for my Surface, not my phone. So I ran into a couple deals where I had to turn off dual factor. I had to go in and turn them off so I could get into my account. I need to go back there and turn them on. But a little situation maybe where dual factor let me down, or that's not the right way to say it. It's just dual factor when you have your phone and you don't have a cellular connection with your phone and you can't get to any of that stuff. I'm going to have to think through that because I'm going to be on some planes and I think I'm going to have to come up with some two-factor stuff that doesn't require maybe my phone or something like that. Or something that has a connection besides what I have. So I've got some I've got some thinking to do. That's really the first time I've got that's happened to me where I got on a plane and the dual factor wouldn't work because my phone wouldn't work. And I thought, oh crap, this isn't going to work. In some cases you could turn it off, but I definitely got stuck. So anyways, use LastPass up there on the plane. It's up. Sometimes it can be a challenge. Don't forget the newsletter. I try to put that out every week. I don't get it done every week. We'll try and get another one out this week. Head out to theaverageguy.tv/newsletter and you can get updated on the most recent happenings going on here in the network. I'll update them. Oh, I'll do them this week. I don't have much to update you on. I might wait a week, but we'll try and get a new schedule out to you shortly. We're live every Thursday, 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern, out at theaverageguy.tv live. Thanks for listening to me ramble on for an hour. Hard to believe, like I said at the very beginning. It's probably not hard for me to get done. Thanks for listening to me for about an hour. And we'll be back next week. Amber Gott will be in and we'll be scheduling some new guests. And so if you're listening in the chat room, hang tight. I'll stay around a little bit for post-show. But with that, we'll say goodnight, everybody.